Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of The Green Room. In The Green Room, I get to unpack all those great stories and anecdotes and, you know, the business lessons I learn in talking to business owners just like you every single day. So sit back, relax, buckle up and enjoy this week's episode of The Green Room podcast. Hello everyone and welcome to The Green Room podcast. Today I want to talk to you about a huge opportunity I'm seeing that I don't think we've seen in the market for SME businesses for a long time, certainly pre-COVID. And that is, I'm seeing a lot of really talented people on the market looking for jobs. And I, you know, since COVID, it's been such a challenge. One of the things that I've noted over many years of doing this and working with SME businesses is that when we bring in a skill set that can really help us go to another level in the business, that can help us scale the business, normally, you know, it's a general manager type skill set that really works under the founder into the operational sense and leaves the founder to do what they do best, you know, all the things that got the business to where it got to, which is, you know, product development, ambassadorial work to really bring in new business, all those things that, you know, business owners and founders are really good at and really seem to love, has been my experience. And the GM then brings in the structure and the systems that they know how to do and the operational efficiencies that we really need that absolutely scale the business and take it to another level. And I want to talk to you about an example. So I was talking with one of my construction companies. They've been with me for quite a long time. And the owner ummed and ahed for a fair while about should I or shouldn't I bring in a general manager. I've had a lot of success over recent years where we've found a great GM in really scaling the businesses that we've put that GM into. I've had very few failures, to be honest, and I think there's some things that can really set you up for success, and I want to talk to you about those in a minute. But this construction company owner ummed and ahed for a number of years about whether they should or they shouldn't bring in a general manager. Finally, we bit the bullet. We did some really solid pre-work in making sure the GM stepped into a business that was ready for it, stepped into a business that they knew what success looked like, and stepped into a business that they could make a real difference in. Interestingly, 8 months after the GM took over, I got a phone call from this guy and he said he'd just been on a 4-day camping trip. This guy never took a holiday because he didn't think the team could cope. But he'd just taken a 4-day camping trip with his family and he didn't receive any telephone calls. There was, you know, the place didn't burn down and the business actually ran better than it ever had. So he rang me and just told me that and said, "Oh my goodness, I think we've taken that step. And now I've got a business that really works for me." So when that happens, it gives the owner some real freedom around what it could look like and some real freedom around really growing the business into where the potential could take it, because they've got space to do it, space to think and space to grow. He'd been running for 11 years without a GM and had never really taken a proper holiday. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today is that over the journey, he just needed to get the right person at the right level, someone who had the capability to lead, but also the character to earn trust of the team quickly. So I'll talk to you more about character as we go through and why that's important and what that could look like. And now at last, we have a market that will let us find these sort of people. The market is here and it's right now and the opportunity is right now. So across Australia and New Zealand, no doubt, hiring activity has slowed. We've seen applications per role climbing. More people seem to be on the market looking for jobs. We're seeing employee candidate pools that we haven't seen since before the pandemic. So experienced leaders that are high performing, they're solid commercial operators. They understand governance, they understand systems. You know, whereas 18 months ago, they wouldn't even bother returning our call. Now they're actually open to a conversation. So most business owners as the softening economy, they pull back. It's natural. It's human nature that, you know, we might freeze hiring to protect some cash and then wait for conditions to feel better before making a big decision like putting a GM on. And certainly the market at the moment feels, in so many industries, feels a bit unstable. So, you know, it would be normal to pull back, watch this space before we move again. Really understandable instinct. But it's also exactly what separates the businesses that merely survive a downturn from the ones that define, you know, the following decade. I had businesses that I'd mentored and partnered with in 2008 in the global financial crisis. And I had a few businesses that took the opportunity because, once again, similar circumstances. Downturn, people were on the market. Good quality people were looking for work as businesses, many businesses, contracted. And I had a number of businesses who took the opportunity to get really lean and fit, if you like, and to put on great people, and then over the next decade have expanded into significant and sizable businesses. Even if we think about other areas, Warren Buffett, for example, built his entire philosophy around something that was counterintuitive, and that is that when others are fearful, you be greedy. The best time to buy quality shares is when the market is not when the market is confident and prices are high. It's when uncertainty creates a discount on things that are worth owning, is what Warren Buffett would tell you. Interestingly, Airbnb was launched during the 2008 global financial crisis. Uber, following that in 2009. Microsoft during the 1973 recession, and Disney during the Great Depression. Some significant companies. These businesses did not succeed despite the difficult conditions. They were built by people who moved when everyone else was standing still. So that's my message. Because talent works the same way. Experienced, capable operators are available to you right now and are not on the market because they're no good. They're available because the market has shifted. It's like getting a discount on the quality. It's not a signal of poor skills or intent. So what happens when the business owner who waits for conditions to feel more certain, which is quite normal, will still be carrying every decision that should belong to someone else. They'll still be the ceiling of their own business. Meanwhile, the competitor who moves thoughtfully during this little window that we're going through at the moment will have built 18 months of momentum with an operator who knows the business well enough to drive it, and that gap will compound very, very quickly. But here's the thing, moving fast without moving well is just as costly as not moving at all. So a poorly prepared recruitment process produces hires that look right on paper but fail in practice. And the cost of that is not just financial, it's cultural, relational, and sometimes takes years to repair. So I want to walk you through a four-step process that I think really sets you up for success. But it's been my experience, when we get the four steps right and we're not just focused on the remuneration question, the remuneration takes care of itself. But unfortunately, most recruitment conversations start and end with remuneration. What will it cost? What is the salary range? What package do we need to offer? Don't get me wrong, remuneration matters, and I'm not dismissing that. But I think if we get these other things right, that conversation will take care of itself. So what are the four things every business owner should work through before the advertisement goes live? Number one, and I've done this a number of times, and this has been incredibly powerful. Before you recruit anyone, you need to get some honest baseline data about where we're at. Not assumptions, not gut feel, not what you heard on the grapevine. So how do we do that? Well, I think a really easy way is to survey your team. How do I do that? I just use Google Forms or Microsoft Forms. I create half a dozen questions around a number of things that walk you through, and then I get it back in electronically. It's just so much easier than the old days of emailing out forms, getting people to print them off, fill them out, try and collate them another way. It's just, let's use the tech for what the tech's really great at. And this is one example. So ask in your survey things like, where does communication break down in this business? Ask, where do decisions stall? Where do they get stuck? Ask, where accountability is unclear? Is there something around that? And ask, what frustrates people the most about how the business currently runs? The other question I really love to ask is, if you were me, What would you do differently? The answers to those questions will come back in and will give you a really great insight into where we're at. It's really a great diagnostic tool, a thermometer of where the business is at the moment. What do I then do with it? Interestingly, I download them as a CSV file and then I throw that into an AI program, whether you're using Claude at the moment or ChatGPT or whatever your preferred choice is. And I ask it to really break down what is the things that if I bought a GM in, they would need to be able to address. What are the key strategic initiatives that we should be taking based on this feedback? What are the three key things we should be focusing on? What does this do? Well, it reveals the realities that a new leader will actually inherit. So they're not walking into confusion on day one. And it tells you something important about the character you need, not just the competencies. This is critical. The human qualities. Does your team need someone who listens before they act, or someone who brings calm to a high-pressure environment, or someone who leads with directness rather than consensus? When my construction company owner surveyed his team before recruiting, what came back was really quite surprising. His site supervisors did not want someone who would make faster decisions. They wanted someone who would make clearer ones. They wanted clarity. That single insight changed the entire profile of the person we went looking for. And it's almost certainly why that hire worked. Strong business recruitment from awareness. Strong businesses recruit from awareness. Weak ones recruit from desperation after a key person walks. That is an enormous difference. So that's my starting point, is get a real baseline data on where we're at today and what are the areas that a great GM or a good GM, what are the skills they need to have that would suit where we're at, and what character do they need to display and exhibit and have demonstrated previously that will work for us. The second step is to define the authority before the person arrives. And I see this all the time where we've got a founder or an owner and we've got a GM and they just keep tripping over each other everywhere they looked. They look because they hadn't had the conversation, they hadn't had the expectations clearly set out. So a business often brings in a senior leader with high expectations, but never actually defines what authority that person will hold. So 6 months later, the owner's overriding decisions, managers are going around the new hire, the new person grows really hesitant. They don't know what they can and they can't do. The team's really confused, and eventually someone just says that didn't work out. In reality, the structure failed the person. So before anyone starts, define the authority clearly. Can they manage people performance? Can they make commercial decisions without signing off? Can they restructure the team? Can they challenge you? The best senior hires are empowered really intentionally, not gradually through and organically through conflict or through things that aren't said or through intuition. And the business owner needs to be genuinely ready for that shift. Many say they want leadership support, but actually want assistance without that authority. So if we're going to bring someone in, what authority, genuine authority, are you going to give them? What can they and can't they do? And what are we going to do to ensure that the lines of communication and the reporting is very clear? So that's number two. Number three, assess character as rigorously as you assess capability. And as I said, if we're just going to remuneration and show me a tick list of things that you can do, we are absolutely undercooking what this thing should be. So skills get people hired, but character determines whether they will last. A candidate can have an impressive resume and still be fundamentally misaligned with how your business operates, the values your team holds, or the leadership style that your culture demands. Someone built for large corporate environments with deep support structures, they might struggle in a privately owned business where things move fast, resources are lean, and the owner is still very much in the room, so things just aren't clear for anyone. So get clear on the character of your organization before you recruit. What does your culture actually reward? Getting things done or getting things right? Loyalty or performance? Directness or consensus? There are no wrong answers in really pulling this apart, but there are wrong fits, and a wrong character fit in a senior role plays out across every team relationship, every customer relationship, and every decision made in your absence. So once again, I go back to my construction company owner. They needed someone who would bring commercial discipline to a business that had always been run on relationship and instinct. And to be fair, most of us, I think, would run our SME businesses that we've been instrumental in growing on those things. But they also needed someone who would earn the respect of a very sceptical site team before challenging anything. That is, they needed to get their 100-day eyes in play. They needed to get their feet under the desk, get to know the team, get to know the people before they did anything that was particularly challenging. That is a very specific character brief. It ruled out half the technically qualified candidates immediately and helped us really understand where we could look. Your business obviously will be different. Maybe you need someone who has scaled before and understands what that next phase looks like. They've been there, they've walked in those steps. Maybe you need operational rigor where gut feel is always ruled, you know, process and systems. Where, whatever the capability gaps underneath, it's always a character question. Ask it early, ask it directly. Don't leave it to instinct on the interview day around, tell me a bit about yourself. Tell me a little bit about your weaknesses. How much money do you want? And I've sat in far too many and observed far too many interviews along those lines without that having been done. Finally, step four, one of the greatest gifts you can give a senior hire is clarity, and one of the most expensive mistakes you can make is withholding it. What does success look like after 90 days, after 6 months, after 12 months? What problems are they expected to solve? What would make you think on a quiet Monday morning that that was one of the best decisions I ever made? What do they need to know? So when you define this clearly before the process begins, three things happen. The right candidate self-select in because they can see the opportunity clearly. The weaker candidate self-select out because accountability is visible from the start. They don't have the skills. It's not for them. They're not up for it. And the successful candidate begins with alignment instead of ambiguity. But clarity is not just about outcomes. It's about the culture that we want. Be explicit about how your business operates, how decisions get made, how conflict gets handled, what leadership looks like when the pressure hits, because that's when the cracks appear. Give candidates enough honest information to judge whether their character generally suits your environment, not just whether they want the role. Then you put everything into a position description, clear KPIs, measurable outcomes, and aligned incentives and explicit behavioural standards. So what are the incentives, what are the disincentives around the role so that our candidate is clear where the rails are that they have to work within? The best candidates want to know that before joining, not just what the job pays. And when the role is defined this clearly, when the opportunity is this well articulated, the remuneration conversation becomes far more straightforward than you would expect. Great operators can see the upside. They can see what the role is worth to them and to the business. They get the structure, so get the structure right and the numbers tend to follow. So the businesses that scale well are rarely built by owners who try to do everything forever. Buffett did not buy great companies when everyone else wanted them. He bought them when nobody else would. The talent market is giving business owners that same window right now. Quality is available at a discount. The question is whether you are willing to invest while others are standing still. Not just because of what the right person will do, but because of who they are and what that person brings to every person around them. Good luck with your recruiting. It's never been a better time. Do the work now, do the work before you put the ad out, and you will have a much more likelihood of success. Oh, by the way, I have a rare opportunity. I have two spots available. If this in my Business by Design program, you can have a look at my website, www.chrisgreen.au, chrisgreen.au. Have a look at the program. If you'd like to reach out to me, I'd love to have a chat. But I've got two spots available at the moment, which is rare. And I'm looking, if this article resonates with you and you're looking to work with someone to really scale your business, please feel free to reach out and contact me.